Well, my hero in Irish history is Michael Davitt. In fact, I would argue that Michael Davitt rid Ireland from famine and starvation through the National Land League. And it was a great non-violent agrarian revolution. And what we sometimes forget is that Ireland has a really very admirable non-violent tradition. But because of 1916, because of the War of Independence, because of the Civil War, and more recently the Troubles in the North, it has been overshadowed. And this year, we celebrate the 150th anniversary of the birth of Mahatma Gandhi. And I think there's a great opportunity to actually shine a light both on Gandhi and on Davitt. Mm. And that's why with the Michael Davitt Museum, we're looking at a partnership or a twinning with the National Gandhi Museum in New Delhi. Discussions have already been held with them and they're very, very interested. But we're also looking at the idea maybe of a Gandhi lecture series in the Michael Davitt Museum throughout the next 12 months and some other initiatives as well, including the possibility of organizing like what I would term a pilgrimage to New Delhi in the footsteps of Gandhi's last days. And so these are all exciting things that we're going to discuss with the Indian Embassy today.
Yeah, and Yvonne, you work in the Michael Davitt Museum, so I mean, did you see that link naturally, or you know, did somebody suggest it to you? You know, how did that come about?
No, we were always aware of the link because we believe that Michael Davitt inspired Mahatma Gandhi, and back in 1994, Don actually brought Gandhi's grandson to the museum, Arun Gandhi, who came and laid a wreath at Michael Davitt's grave. So we just want to create formal links between India and Ireland and Mayo, and especially between Gandhi and Michael Davitt, and just maybe do more research and hopefully have a program where we can bring students over from India and also have students go over from Ireland to do the research into the history of it.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, it's interesting too, John. I mean, like, you know, now there's never been more need for the types of teachings of Gandhi or the types of things that Michael Davitt was saying, you know, just in terms of our modern culture.
Yes, I suppose we live in an uncertain world in many ways, and you're quite right. Never before have Davitt and Gandhi's ideas of you know, dealing with injustice and you know, resolving problems by non-violent protest been more important. And I think you know, there are themes that last down the ages, and they're very important. And the thing is, both Davitt and Gandhi, they're national, but they're international figures as well. And in fact, we believe that there was a meeting, or at least one meeting, between them back in the late 1880s and 1890s. And as Yvonne suggested, Gandhi, we believe, was influenced by Michael Davitt, especially his idea of passive resistance and non-violent campaigns. And there are many similarities between Davitt's Land League movement and, I suppose, the Indian independence movement that Gandhi led in the 1940s, in particular, out there in India. So we're trying to shed more light on this whole area, and indeed on, I suppose, Ireland and India in general have a shared history in many ways, a sort of a colonial and now a post-colonial history, and there's a lot of similarities between the both countries. I suppose I should mention as well, Michael Davitt, apart from his connection with Gandhi, he had a strong interest in India for many, many years. And, for example, he wrote extensively on India in his books and newspaper articles, and he also wrote articles for an Indian newspaper. And when he was an MP in the House of Commons for 7 years, he asked questions on India. You know, he quizzed the Minister for the Colonies on many occasions about the conditions in India, grant aid for India, and indeed he was worried about Indian minorities in other countries. Mm. So it was a sort of a career thing with Michael Davitt. He saw a natural empathy between the two peoples, and it's something he worked on and pursued throughout his life.
That's very interesting, isn't it? I mean, I don't know that many Irish people would be entirely aware of that connection. I mean, they might have a sense of it, but like, I guess that's why you're trying to make this connection, to highlight that and get people to recognise that there is such a connection between these two countries and these two men.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And as Yvonne and Don outlined, I suppose it's very timely now because this year is the 150th anniversary of Gandhi's birth. It's also, as Yvonne reminded me on the way up, the 140th anniversary of the National Land League, which was formed in October 1879 as well. So it is a timely occasion to bring these connections to light. And we hope to do a lot more of it. Yes. In the years ahead, and I think we will, because it's something that should be brought and highlighted to the people of both countries indeed.
And going back to you, Yvonne, I mean, like, one of Gandhi's great refrains was live simply so that others can simply live. That has never been more critical when you consider all of the climate action strikes and stuff like that, you know, suddenly people are really looking to that wisdom again.
They are, and I think that's what we need to go back to. We need to focus more on that, on climate change, and I think that is actually coming to the forefront nowadays. So we would hopefully, in the lectures we'll run in the museum, also highlight the likes of climate change, the likes of Gandhi and Michael Davitt, and bring it through.
I mean, in many ways they were men who were ahead of their time, you know.
They were ahead of their time, but I think also what is really important now is that the people who are given the greatest leadership now are women. So I think this is the age of woman leadership, and I think we have to see that more and more. You look at this amazing movement, you know, with Greta Thunberg, you know, and it was interesting listening to George Lee on Friday. He made reference to the fact that it was a young schoolgirl who sparked this, but he said that he and the RTE people who were there reporting on the actual strike reckoned that 75% of those participating on Friday were actually females. So again, I think that indicates that there is a very strong movement happening here, and I think it's, and I don't mean this in a patronizing way, but I think that, you know, women have a capacity to see things very, very differently to men. And I think that there's the mother instinct as well, and that closeness with Mother Earth and so on that's coming out. And we need that, you know, because I often refer to, even in terms of the church and in many world religions, you know, we have broken bodies where you have mainly been run by men who are making all the decisions. So you've one lung and half a brain. And what we need is a joint up, and that's the only way to move forward.
Yvonne, I'll go back to you on that, I suppose, because that is it's a call out there to women in some ways. And you know, it has been shown, you know, particularly around environmental issues, that it does tend to be women who are more concerned about it. And maybe that's the sense of having an instinctual feel for the concern for the next generation.
Yes, I do think so. And actually, even in Strait, where we come from, some of the projects that we do, we're actually bringing in a lot of biodiversity projects and trying to train people and educate them on, say, biodiversity, climate change. And I think that needs to come to the forefront. And I do think a lot of the women, as Don has said, you are a mother, and I do think you have that connection with Mother Earth, and I do think that's what's happening, and women will bring it to the front, I think.
So is Greta the next big figure? We've, like, Michael Davitt, Gandhi, and then Greta.
Well, I think Michael Davitt would love to see that. He was very progressive on women's issues himself, and in his lifetime, for example, he was a strong supporter of the suffragettes, and the Ladies' Land League, of course, was partly his conception as well. So I think, yeah, I think it's a good point. The role of women in modern society is very interesting, and I think they are to the forefront in climate change. It was also suggested 10, 15 years ago that the economic crash might never have happened if women were in charge as well. So there's something in that. They may not have the same, bullish nature as men, you might say, aggressive nature. So, yes, I think women are going to play an increasing role. You see it in sport, for example, as well. Across a whole range of areas, women are going to play a bigger and bigger role in the decades ahead, I think.